If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be here. Great to spend some time, think about things, talk about things, particularly things that affect our lives in a personal sort of way, and we need clarity and guidance. And what better source of clarity and guidance than the Torah? The Torah which is infinite, the Torah which is given by us to God directly, contains within it every single dimension of life that we have to connect with and to have whatever type of clarity we can achieve through the study of Torah and through the devotion that comes with the study of Torah. That clarity is guaranteed. We're still very much in the period of counting the Omer, and day by day we go from level to level, from step to step, so that we're able to make the incredible journey from liberation of bondage to stand at Sinai and receive the Torah. 49 days, can you imagine? 49 days, the people grew every single day, step by step, until they were able to achieve a tremendous sense of holiness that enabled them to receive the Torah at Sinai. And not only that, but what an extreme journey it was. Our sages tell us that tragically the Jewish people in Egypt and coming out of Egypt were at the 49th level of impurity. And our Kabbalists teach us that there are 50 levels of spiritual impurity. And God forbid, if you step from the 49th into the 50th, it's almost impossible to return. From that low level, they came to the 49th level of holiness. And our sages tell us that there are 50 levels. And the 50th is not something which any person can achieve on their own. But if we get to the 49th level, as a tremendous gift, God enables us to move from the 49th into the 50th, which is a permanent recognition of who we are, our connection with God through the study and observance of Torah. Our sages in the Talmud tell us something interesting, which we all know when it comes to counting the Omer, that it's not enough to count the weeks, but you also have to count the days as well. Because after all, it says you shall count 50 days, indicating how important it is to count each day. And also, Sheva Shavuot Tmimot, 7 complete weeks. And the weeks become important to count. Now, why is it necessary to count the weeks and the day? For instance, today, the 22nd day of the Omer, is 3 weeks and 1 day. Why can't we simply say, well, it's X amount of days, or whatever other number can be used? Why is it important to count the amount of weeks and also to count the actual day as well? And the answer is somewhat profound, in the sense that each and every single day of the Omer is represented by a spiritual dimension of God's manifestation into the world, known as Sfirot, of which there are 7 on the lower level, on Midot, on the level of emotions, and beginning with Chesed, with kindness, and culminating each week with Malchus, with monarchy. And each and every single one of those days is characterized by a different dimension of each one of those 7 Sfirot. And those 7 Sfirot manifest into the human condition through the 7 emotional characteristics which human beings are blessed with. Take today, for instance. Today we've entered into the week of the Sfira of Netzach. Netzach is victory. Netzach is eternity. Now one can simply say, well, the week, it's enough to simply speak about victory and eternity. But that's not enough. Because within victory and eternity, there are all sorts of different dimensions. For instance, today. Today is chesed, the kindness that comes in to victory and eternity. Victory implies that there was conflict and one needs to be victorious. There was an enemy that one had to overcome and has to overcome. There is the chesed of netzach, the chesed of victory, that we pray to God that not only we should be victorious, but we should be victorious in a gentle and kind way. Not to suffer, God forbid, in achieving victory, but that it should be tempered by the quality of chesed, of kindness and compassion within victory. Because very often to be victorious, it takes, well, severe dimensions of conflict. We ask God for chesed. Eternity, that's the miracle of Jewish survival, that we are still here, small numbers, but we are still here compared to the numbers of the nations of the world. And there too, there are seven dimensions, beginning with chesed. We ask God that our eternal journey as a people should not only, in fact, be eternal, lasting forever with the coming of Mashiach soon, to be elevated to the highest levels, but it should be with chesed, with kindness. It should be with gentleness. The journey should be painless. So although Netzach is victory and eternity, each day of the week, each dimension of victory and eternity has a particular character. There's the gevura of victory, which can be difficult and harsh at times, or the gevura of eternity, which can be difficult or harsh at times. And therefore, we have to recognize it and understand it and to apply it correctly and so on and so forth throughout the seven sfirot, or emotional characteristics. We ask that each one be fulfilled not only in the general sense, but to be fulfilled in the individual dimensions of the general sense. And this is why our sages tell us to count the weeks and to count the days. It's not enough to have a general view, because a general view can be sometimes overwhelming. In order to deal with it in our own lives, we have to see and recognize each specific dimension of the general character. When we talk about our own lives, we talk about victory in our own lives. Each and every one of us wants to be victorious. And what's the battle? What's the conflict in which we want to be victorious? Well, that's the battle between the godly soul and the animal soul. The godly soul inspires us and calls us to achieve higher connection with God and godliness through performance of mitzvot, through the study of Torah, through a consciousness that makes us aware of God's presence through divine providence on each and every single level. The nefesh ha-baham is the animal soul, wants to draw us down purely into the physical dimensions of life, to enjoy life at a physical level, to enjoy life at a material level. And this is the inner conflict that every one of us goes through. And therefore we ask Hashem that the conflict should be victorious in the positive sense, but with a dimension of chesed, of gentleness, of kindness. And yes, sometimes it's necessary to have gevura. Sometimes we have to overwhelm the animal soul. But there too, we ask God that it should be done within a framework of correctness, and so on through the 7 times 7, the weeks and the days. Hence, each and every single day, not only do we talk about the general, the weeks, but we talk about the individual and specific dimension with each and every one, the 49 levels. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We come from the Omer concept to the Parsha of the week, or perhaps better said this week, the double Parsha, the Parsha of Acharei and Kedoshim, because they too carry a similar theme of understanding our role in the physical world while appreciating the spiritual dimensions at a higher level. The Parsha begins with Acharei Mot Shnei Bnei Aharon, what happened after the tragic death of the two sons of Aaron that we read about some weeks ago. How they brought a strange fire into the holy area of the temple, of the Mishkan. And because it was not done with proper authority, they perished. And it tells us an interesting story. Who were Nadab and Abihu? They were highly enlightened spiritual people, men of great piety, the sons of Aaron, two of the five who were chosen directly by God to become Kohanim, to become priests. And this was the day that the temple was erected and consecrated. They felt this incredible spiritual ecstasy, seeing the presence of God, seeing the holiness of the temple. And they brought a strange fire, a foreign fire. And our commentaries have different views on what this foreign fire was. Did they behave with a lack of complete respect for Moses and Aaron? Were they intoxicated? What really happened over there? Our Kabbalistic and Hasidic masters tell us that what happened over there is they reached a level of such intense spirituality that their souls simply left their bodies. They so much wanted to connect with the essence of God. They so much wanted to be released from any type of limitation that the physical condition brings, that they simply expired in the holy presence of godliness. Their bodies could no longer contain the fiery, powerful, spiritual dimension of their souls. And what happened? Why did they die? Why were they so punished? And the answer is, the first time we read the story, what happens right after is that the Torah tells us that God made the prohibition of the Kohanim drinking wine and becoming intoxicated. In this Parsha, we read about how they were told not to enter the holy area unless they were told to do so by Hashem. What were those two prohibitions and why are they separated? Why, in fact, is this story separated? We read about this weeks ago. Why wait till now that weeks have gone by? Again, to repeat it and to tell them not to enter the holy area. The drinking of wine, the prohibition that can cause intoxication, can and should be taken on a literal sense by the Kohanim. But more so, there is a spiritual dimension. Our sages tell us, Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod, when the wine enters, when one imbibes, what happens is the emergence of Sod, the deeper secrets. Wine is often referred to in the spiritual writings as the great wisdom of God, Torah. But wine can be incredibly intoxicating as well. It takes you to a different level, spiritually speaking, to a higher level. Higher level to the point that one begins to enter into the secret realms of Sod, the hidden dimensions of Torah, where the spirituality is so intense and so powerful that it simply denies any type of contact with the physical world. You get so involved in the spirituality of God's wisdom. You come into what we know as the orchard of Torah, the orchard of Torah, which is intense beyond words. We read that story of the four sages who went into that orchard, that spiritual orchard of Kabbalistic power. And only one survived, Rabbi Akiva, because he went in with strength and he came out with strength. Where the others, well, terrible things happened. This is what the first part of the story is all about. Don't enter into a situation where the wine intoxicates you spiritually to such a degree that you no longer have any contact with the physical dimension. Because the ultimate purpose is to fulfill God's will in this physical world. And while, yes, it's desirable to want to reach higher and higher levels of spirituality, and this should in fact be the good ambition of a person, nonetheless, it mustn't be in a way that denies the physical realm, that you cannot translate it into practical activity within the physical realm. The spiritual level of divine ecstasy is intense, a joy like no other. But at the same time, God told us we have to live in a physical world, and the mitzvot, the commandments, are all connected one way or another with the physical dimension. The tefillin that we put on our arm and our head, made of leather, lighting of candles, eating kosher food, etc., etc., etc. Almost each and every single mitzvah is connected with the physical world because it's there that we have to take the spiritual levels that we've achieved and to translate it into practical action. Some weeks pass. In these weeks that passed, we've read about the laws of kosher and non-kosher. We've read about the laws of purity and impurity that we talked about last week. What happened here? What happens here is God says, do not enter the holy area unless you're told to do so. Because once we understand the laws of kosher, the laws of purity and impurity that deals with the physical world, then we know how to make sure that our positive adventures in the spiritual realm are protected by the knowledge that we have to function in the physical world. And even though a person might be in a situation where, God forbid, he abused the laws of kashrut or abused the spiritual dimension and became ritually impure through the behavior of tumah, still, that's not enough of a reason for a person to say, I want to leave this physical world. It's too temptation. It's too tempting. It'll bring me down. No, it won't bring you down if handled correctly. If at all times you understand the difference between kosher and non-kosher, between tuma and tahara, between purity and impurity, if you understand those rules and those barriers, you will grow spiritually within a physical world. And that's why it says, don't enter, don't run away from the world. We're not monastic. We don't hide in a cave on a high mountain and chant. That is not our way. Our way is to function in the physical world. And this is the great tragedy of the sons of Aaron, pious people, spiritually endowed, great people, but they left the physical world, and that's considered a sin. And then we go on to the second of this week's two parshiot, the parsha of Kedoshim. And God says, Kedoshim ti, you shall be holy, ki kodosh ani, because I am holy. And our sages talk about this in the Talmud. Does God expect us to be as holy as he is? Of course not, the Midrash tells us. My holiness is far greater than yours, says God. But nonetheless, you must emulate to the best of your ability the activity of holiness. Now the word kedusha, holy, can be translated in two different ways. One is holy, But the inner dimension of holiness is separation to divide that which is permissible and non-permissible, that which is acceptable and that which is prohibitive. And what God says, just as I created a world of different things, and each one having its own dimension and border, I created the impurity of the world, says God, and I created the non-kosher dimension of the world. And I did so for a purpose, but I created a wall between those two, a clear division. You two in your own lives, says God, kedoshim tiyu, you shall be holy, because I am holy. Practice the art of recognizing the necessary divisions between right and wrong, because that's the way I created the world. And it goes beyond that as well. Our sages tell us what it means to be kedoshim is not only to see those barriers, to see those fences, but also it says train yourself to become holy even in matters that are acceptable. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that once something is acceptable, you can indulge to an excess. You can do whatever you want. Kosher food is acceptable. Eat as much as you want. No. Even in matters that are permissible, learn to recognize limits and restraints. That's the art of Kedusha. That's the art of holiness. And that brings us to a higher level of holiness, where Hashem says, Ki Kadosh Ani, then you emulate my ways. You create a world that I intended, where a person should have the strength and will have the strength and does have the strength to recognize that which is on the other side of the fence and to resist it, not to allow it to enter into one's personal life. And this is the Achrei Kedoshim strength, that on the one hand there is this tremendous desire sometimes, as we have witnessed with the sons of Aaron, to achieve incredibly high spiritual levels. Nonetheless, it's the physical world that demands our attention and our behavior, because that's the ultimate purpose of God's creation, a physical world. He didn't create only a spiritual world. He created a physical world for a purpose. But at the same time, to recognize within the physical world, Kedoshim, that there are restraints, there are limits, there are barriers, and you have to know how to correctly divide and separate the two. A powerful combination of two parshas, particularly during this time of the Omer, when we are so concerned with the refinement of every single dimension of the seven emotional characteristics that we possess, it's necessary to understand the highest and the lowest and the interaction between both. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Just remember that Thursdays and Fridays mean fresh magic at the family bakehouse. Golden challis, babkas, biscuits, and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. Perfect for Shabbat or the weekend. Find the family bakehouse at Genesis, Oroch's, and selected distribution centers. We're talking about Achrei, and it's interesting to note that this portion is read on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, because what Achrei talks about is repentance and atonement. That even though people behave in a way, certainly in the latter part of the Parsha, are warned not to behave in an immoral sort of way, repentance is always possible, as we've often discussed, and Hashem atones us. That's of Achrei. And that's why it's read on Yom Kippur. And this brings us to the Haftarah of this week. It comes from the book of Amos, where he's going to tell the people and explain to the people why God will, God forbid, punish them unless they change their ways. He says, you've behaved in a way where you have neglected to fulfill your responsibilities. You behaved in a way where you have forgotten the purpose of why I brought you into the promised land, the great journey from bondage in Egypt to revelation at Sinai, to enter into the Holy Land and to turn that physical place into a house for God in each and every single way, by taking the physical world, as we spoke before, and elevating it through proper behavior through mitzvot and study of Torah. But Amos says, unfortunately, you didn't behave that way. And this is why Hashem is threatening to punish you in a terrible way by expelling you from the Holy Land, just like Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden because they transgressed. Similarly, this will happen to the land of Israel, says Amos in those days. Unless, of course, that you repent. And if you repent, then God will atone. And there won't be any punishment. And you will continue to live lives of great spiritual and physical comfort and safety. And toward the end of the Haftarah, the beautiful words of Amos, where he says, Hine yomba, days are coming. Hine yamim ba'im. Days are coming when the world will be plentiful, when the mountains themselves will drip with wine, when there'll be the great glory of godliness, when all will know what true peace is all about, with the coming of Mashiach, of course. And Mashiach has become such an accepted awareness in the world that we live in today. Because what we witness is no political and simple solution to the conflict and chaos and craziness of the world. We need something miraculous. We need something greater than the physical. And that's Ani Ma'amin Be'emuna Shleima, I believe with absolute faith in the coming of Mashiach. Because those are the days that are coming speedily in our time. Yes, we have made mistakes in the past. We've been banished from the land on a number of occasions. Our temple was taken away, not once but twice. But atonement can change all of that. If Hashem sees that we want, with sincerity and devotion, to create a better world, a world that He is proud of, a world that truly represents His presence, when all the nations of the world will recognize the greatness of God. Those are the days that we yearn for, and those are the days that are coming. And this is why it's so important to keep on returning to Torah week after week after week and remembering what in fact it's all about. It's not, well, just a book of history or stories or even laws. It's a book that guides each and every single dimension of life. Moses speaks in the five books of Moses. The prophets speak in the various prophetic books that we read, certainly in the Haftarah that we read after the reading of the Torah on Shabbat. And this is something which is important to understand. We must learn to listen and to hear those words, because they are personal, they are positive, and they are incredibly productive. One has to actually take the time, make the effort to make those words our own. This is something which is so important. It's so important to take things seriously. Tragically, the time of Amos, people didn't take him seriously. Despite the fact that he said there are going to be terrible punishments, they didn't listen. They thought it would never happen. They had a good physical life. Big deal if they didn't fulfill the will of God. And just a short while later, in the time of Jeremiah, it sadly came to fruition. but he warned them. And we have to learn to listen to the sounds of warning. The sounds of warning are the incredible miracles that God is showing us in our own lives now. On a daily basis, we see the revealed greatness and presence of God. He's telling us that he is the master of this world, that every single action has purpose. This world is not a madhouse. This world is not a crazy place. It's a place that can become a dwelling home for Hashem himself. But it's up to us to do it. And this is why, as I say every week, when you're in shul tomorrow, and be in shul tomorrow, listen to the reading of the Torah. It's a fascinating double parsha. You might get a little bit worried about the prohibitions that are included and the incredible amount of mitzvot that are contained in these two parshiot. But remember that ultimately it's acharei and kedoshim. We go beyond the negativity and we come into a realm of holiness. So listen to the words. Listen to the words of the Haftarah, the story that Amos tells us about how we have to change. And as I say every week, you will hear something that resonates with you, with your own situation in life, with your own situation that you are faced with on a daily basis. The power of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, the miracle of Torah, make it yours. Good Shabbos.